This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. As climate change makes weather more extreme, hot, and unstable in other parts of the United States, will residents in those places consider relatively stable Midwestern cities like Cincinnati as their new homes? At least a few people have already made that decision, and some city officials expect more to do so in the coming years, as we hear in this pre-recorded interview. Joining us now is Ollie Kroner, the Sustainability Coordinator at the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability. Ollie, thank you for being with us.
Great to be with you.
I think it's a bit strange to think of people wanting to locate in Cincinnati due to the weather. I mean, there's a lot of running jokes around here about how quickly the weather can change, how brutal it can be in the extreme seasons. But what are you seeing? I know you were a big part of putting together the Green Cincinnati Plan back in 2018, so you are familiar with the climate here intimately. What's going on?
Well, there's a whole lot going on, right? And people make choices based on a number of different variables. Sometimes climate is one of them. And yes, maybe sometimes we complain about the weather here. But when you look at the risks we are facing compared to other parts of the world, other parts of our country, they don't compare. You know, we're not faced with forest fires, sea level rise, severe drought. We're actually pretty well suited for the anticipated climate of the future. And I think in a lot of ways, when our office focuses on the future, right? We're trying to anticipate the impacts of climate and the shifts that come with those changes. And migratory shifts are a part of that.
And probably important to note that there is a difference between weather and climate. So when we might laugh at our forecasts, when it goes from very warm to very cold within a span of days, climate is more long-term.
Absolutely. That's okay. A good point.
So when we think about climate issues around the country that might be driving people to Cincinnati, what in particular are you finding is pushing more people here? Is there any particular theme emerging from climate analysis that's sending climate migrants to our area?
Well, it's difficult to point to things in the near term, right? We're talking about shifts that we anticipate over decades. And certainly we're in a period of giant disruption right now with tech, and we see people making different choices about where they want to live. Whether that's because they're free to work from anywhere with remote work, or if they have chosen to live closer to home where their parents live, or maybe a forest fire in California. Maybe they've been evacuated one too many times. There can be any number of reasons that are driving people to change.
I understand that in 2005, when Hurricane Katrina ravaged the Gulf Coast, particularly New Orleans, that thousands of people migrated from that region. Some of them ended up here, right?
Yeah. And really, Katrina was what initiated a lot of this thinking locally. We saw those maps of the Katrina diaspora and where folks relocated. That got us thinking, you know, this is not going to be a singular event. There will be more and more storm events. There will be more and more climate-related disruptions. And people will be forced to make decisions about where they choose to live in the long term. And when we look at Cincinnati weather, you know, we are seeing increases in storm events. So maybe that means increases in flash flooding, sewer backups, landslides maybe. We're seeing subtle increases in heat that are increasing over time. But compared to these giant disruptive events, they're mild risks.
We're talking with Ollie Kroner. He is the Sustainability Coordinator at the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability. We're also joined today by two people who moved to this area after living elsewhere, at least in part due to the climate change impact in those regions from which they came or returned. And one of them is Maggie Lawson, who moved from Oakland to Cincinnati back in January of last year. Hi, Maggie. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
And we're also joined by David Sherman, who moved to Cincinnati back in 2013 from Florida, in large part due to high heat and increasing hurricanes. David, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you.
Maggie, let's start with you. Talk a little bit about your experience in Oakland, what took you there, and then what ultimately drove you away?
I moved there right after undergrad. I went to the University of Cincinnati, and I really wanted to work in food justice. And so I had a position at a health center in Oakland, and I stayed there for 15 years. So I was there for quite a long time and had actually anticipated spending, you know, the rest of my life there. And had wanted my parents to move there too. We're really close and they live in Milford. And many fire seasons, I went through three fire seasons in Oakland. I was self-employed, so I was working through all of those seasons. It was really, really traumatic and did not inspire me to stay there. And I couldn't imagine my parents getting older in a place like that. It was so hard on me as a young person. Like, I just couldn't imagine it being a good place for someone to grow old. So I'm back here close to my parents. It's been a year now.
When we see images of those fires during fire seasons on the West Coast, they're startling, but you experience them up close. Can you put into words what the feeling is like? I mean, the literal feeling?
I mean, I don't think it's that much different than what a lot of us are probably experiencing right now. You don't feel safe being outside of your home because you don't, I mean, you can see there's a haze that is visible, that it, smoke just laying over the entire Bay Area. And then you can see the index that the air quality is horrible. I mean, they recommend not exercising, not being outside if you don't have to be. Yeah, it's terrifying. And you don't know the long-term health impacts of breathing in that air for months on end. It's not just a week or a day or a few days. It's many weeks. So I hope that does it justice. It was pretty traumatic. It was not on top of all the other complications of living in the area, which I love still, but it was not something I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
What was that first experience like when you said you were there, I guess, for 15 years or so?
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, we'll talk about the first experience with that climate event and after probably seeing images of that from past fire seasons, but then to see it up close. What was it like the first time?
I mean, I think it's kind of like any disaster. You don't really understand the shape of it and the duration of it. And so what would happen was one fire would flare up close enough to the Bay Area. And I lived in the city. I wasn't as concerned about being evacuated, although that was always a risk. You know, like some of these were burning in like 40, 50 miles away. They were really, really close to us. And a few fires did take place in the hills around Oakland. But one fire would flare up and you'd be like, okay, this is it. We're, you know, and then the smoke would clear for a few days and then another one would fire up. And you could see the map of California online and there were fires burning down the entire coast, you know, and and up through Oregon and Washington State. So it's like, I think what was scary for me is I didn't understand the length, the duration, the intensity. All those things were so unknown and so unpredictable. It wasn't like you could plan your life around it or understand how it was going to impact you in the short term even.
That's Maggie Lawson, who moved back to the Cincinnati area after living in Oakland. We're also joined by David Sherman, who moved to Cincinnati in 2013 from Florida, in large part citing high heat and increasing hurricanes. David, talk a little bit about your experience in Florida.
Sure. Thanks again for having me on. So I spent the first 20 years or so of my life in the Tampa Bay region of Florida and went to college in Jacksonville, which is a little bit further north. And, you know, throughout my childhood and as I became a teenager, I started noticing that it seemed warmer. And I didn't know if I didn't have data to back it up, but it seemed warmer and it seemed like storms were more frequent. For people not familiar with that area, we have hurricane days, like just like we have snow days here. So one of the reasons why I decided to relocate out of the area was fear of, you know, having my house destroyed potentially. And also I was just uncomfortable with the heat and I wanted to find someone a little more mild and see the seasons a bit more. And it wasn't until really recently that I started noticing that the data does back up that the heat has been increasing in those areas and the storms are more frequent, right? So I thought that was the case, but then once I moved and became a bit older and started understanding it more, it was clear that this was actually happening.
So being from Florida, you experienced hurricanes mm-hmm. in your life.
Correct. Yep.
And I imagine that you still have family there.
I do. My parents are both still in Florida. My grandparents are there, and most of my childhood friends are still in the area as well.
So when you live in Florida, is there a period where you grow accustomed to hurricanes? I know that you must know how to prepare for them and how to prepare your mm-hmm. property in order to save your life and your valuable items. But do you ever get used to them? I guess to say that you're less scared.
It's an interesting thing. You know, everybody prepares for a hurricane for the most part. They put shutters on their homes. They make sure they have enough food for a few days. They have batteries, all of those things, right? But you never really think it's going to happen or hit your home. You know, I would say in my lifetime, my family's probably put the storm shutters on 15 or 20 times, right? And while nothing's ever happened to our home, you know, you see devastation like Hurricane Andrew in the early 90s and things like that. It's very real and very frightening. And while you do have a pretty good idea of where the storm is going to go, sometimes you don't know. And that is very frightening.
How did you end up in Cincinnati?
So I was fortunate enough when I graduated college, the job market was a little bit better than the year before in 2012. And I was able to get a job actually across the river in Florence. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to take an adventure and try it out. And I realized the weather was much more mild, heat wise. And, there were more seasons, and I just decided to stay. It was a good medium for me. I tried living in Minnesota for a year as well, and it was a little bit too cold. So this was a good, happy medium for me.
So we know Maggie has the experience of having grown up in this region. You did not. What did you know about Cincinnati as an outsider before you arrived here to work?
I knew that it was colder. That was what everybody told me. I had some coworkers and acquaintances that were from the area and all said the same thing. Oh, Ohio's cold. You're going to hate it. That was my thought going in. And actually the day that I moved here, it was snowing and there was a bit of sleet on the ground as well. So it was an eye-opening experience for sure.
Was snow unusual for you?
Yes, I had seen it, but I had never interacted with it. I didn't drive a car in it. I had to drive a moving van in it, for example. That was a unique experience.
And we're joined by David Sherman and Maggie Lawson, who relocated either to Cincinnati for the first time or relocated back here after living elsewhere and experiencing climate change-related events. We're also joined by Ollie Kroner, Sustainability Coordinator at the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability. Ollie, so we've heard these stories of climate change disasters that hit the coastal regions where our two other guests are from. We're not immune here from climate change and its impacts, whether it be more severe weather, flooding. What are people in your line of work keeping a lookout on as it relates to Cincinnati and climate change and possible negative impacts?
When you look at the local impacts of climate change in the Midwest, we're definitely seeing an increase in storm events. Storms that statistically used to happen once every 100 years, we're seeing multiple per year. And they tend to happen in bursts, localized bursts. And as we've seen across the city, that can result in sewer backups. Those can result in flash flooding. And given our hilly nature, they can result in landslides. So those are all issues that we're dealing with on an ongoing basis. It's definitely also getting warmer. There's an effect called the Urban Heat Island effect, where parts of the city that are more built up or more paved get hotter and hold heat in a way that more natural parts of the city do not. And that can affect health in ways that are negative to elderly populations or people with vulnerabilities. And I think you can also point to pests, right? So I think people who have lived here for a while notice an increase in mosquito populations. Yes, they're annoying. They also can be disease vectors. And, you know, we think of tropical diseases, but as the habitat for mosquitoes expands away from the equator, I don't know if it's appropriate to call them tropical anymore. You know, we have found West Nile virus, for example, in mosquitoes in Cincinnati. There are some real risks that we're facing.
And we're going to continue this conversation just ahead about the impact of climate change and how some people affected by it are choosing to relocate in Cincinnati to better protect themselves. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our conversation about climate change, its impact elsewhere around the country, and how Cincinnati is situating itself to attract people who are moving away from places negatively impacted by climate change. We're joined in this pre-recorded conversation by Ollie Kroner, Sustainability Coordinator at the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability. We're also joined by Maggie Lawson, who had moved to Oakland after graduating from the University of Cincinnati and then returned to the area after experiencing too many fire seasons there. And also David Sherman, who moved to Cincinnati from Florida in large part due to the heat and increasing hurricanes. Ollie, let's talk a little bit about how Cincinnati positions itself to attract people. We know in the economic development circles that you want to pitch the business climate and recreational opportunities and housing costs and that sort of thing. It seems a bit strange that parts of this country can now market themselves against other parts because the climate change impacts are so much more severe. I don't know if that's a delicate dance that people in your line of work have to do, but talk a little bit about how Cincinnati markets itself to people who want to live in a more sustainable environment with less impact from climate change comparatively.
You're right. I think that is a little bit delicate. We are certainly proud of our sustainability accomplishments. We've been named most sustainable region in the U.S. On multiple occasions. And we're proud of our renewable energy work. We're proud of our tree canopy. There's a lot to be proud of in Cincinnati on the sustainability front. And I think we are gaining a reputation as a sustainable city, maybe more so outside of Cincinnati than within. But we let those credentials speak for themselves. I don't think we are proactively saying, hey, move here if you're facing climate disruption. I think, you know, we've heard from David about economic opportunity. We've heard from Maggie about maybe family drawing you back to this region. I think for the most part, our efforts to attract people look a lot like our efforts to make Cincinnati more comfortable for the people who live here already.
There was an article a couple of years ago produced by Yale Climate Connections that identified Cincinnati, as well as Duluth and Buffalo, as cities that could become havens for people looking to relocate due to the impacts of climate change. And one of the notes included in this article is that there's space in these cities like Buffalo and Duluth and Cincinnati, these Rust Belt cities that are apparently well situated. Do you think that's true, Ollie? I mean, is the city at a point where people who are looking to relocate here can land opportunities for both housing and business, professional work, and recreational opportunities?
I do think there's a lot of truth to that. I think a lot of demographers who are mapping where people are moving and where there is opportunity identify Rust Belt cities or industrial legacy cities that have in the past had higher populations and today still have much of the same infrastructure to accommodate a larger population. So yeah, I think there is some truth to that. We can receive them and accommodate them.
Let me turn it back over to Maggie now, who relocated back to our area after living in the Bay Area in California for about 15 years. Maggie, I don't want to put our city down here, but I don't think I'd be out of line to say that Cincinnati doesn't quite have what some might characterize as maybe the sexy factor that San Francisco area has. Can you talk a little bit about what that experience is like, you know, moving from an area that is so coveted by so many people? It is such a beautiful place in spite of the climate change impacts, to relocating to Cincinnati. I mean, is there any excitement at all in relocating to a smaller American city?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I didn't grow up in Cincinnati. I grew up in Middletown. So I grew up in a small town and I always kind of aspired to be a big city girl, and I think I got my fill for 15 years. But I mean, I think a lot of, you know, I'm a personal chef and I have a business in the Bay Area and starting a business here in Cincinnati. And I've connected with so many young farmers that are part of just kind of the agricultural movement that's happening here in Cincinnati since I moved, even with the pandemic. I'm also a visual artist. I had a residency at Wavepool in 2019, and I was blown away by how that has kind of become a hub for conceptual art and artists here in Cincinnati. So I think that my feeling is that the Bay Area is super saturated with creative folks. And yes, there's like lots of economic opportunities because of that, but there's also a lot of competition. And I didn't really feel like I was able to make the kind of impact that I wanted to make. And, you know, I'm still finding my place here and hoping that the skills and kind of perspectives that I bring from my time there and just my life in general growing up in that small town are useful here. But I'm really happy to be here. Like, I feel very grateful for the kind of food and agricultural movement and also the art scene here. Like, I feel like it's really helping me come into my own as an artist and a chef, surprisingly enough.
So again, I mean, places like San Francisco would have a national reputation. People have a general idea of what might be expected there in a way that perhaps Cincinnati does not. So if you were to market Cincinnati to others, what do you think people don't know about it that they should?
I mean, I would say that as an artist, it's really important to have affordable housing and to have a strong community. And I think Cincinnati provides both of those. Also, space, like, to be able to afford spaces to rent, to make your art, I think Cincinnati provides all of that. Like Ollie was saying, there's, you know, there's more space here, you know, so there's more opportunities to generate other things. And in the Bay Area, the real estate was so insane that I could never imagine a lot of the things, doing a lot of the things that I want to do here or there. I would also say that as a city, our food scene and the kinds of like culinary expertise that wasn't maybe here 10, 15 years ago has totally emerged. And I think it's really exciting to see how people are trying to diversify the food system. I've heard a lot of people talk about decalifornianizing the food system here. So moving more diverse agriculture into the area so that we can actually rely more on our local food systems. And I think that's happening, which is really exciting to see what's native to here and to also see what young farmers can grow here that they haven't been growing until now, because it's been dominated by soy and corn. So I would sell Cincinnati to anyone if you want me to. I'm here for it.
Well, you might connect with Ollie about that and put you in the marketing department somewhere. David German moved here from Florida. David, we talked a little bit about what you knew about Cincinnati prior to relocating here, basically that Ohio is colder, certainly compared to Florida. Florida's another place where people might have a general idea or some experiences, since it's such a popular vacation destination for people who live in this region. Is there anything that's surprised you about your living experience here in this city?
Absolutely. I would say walkability and bikeability is surprisingly better than places I've lived in the past. Jacksonville and Tampa are both newer cities, so they're a bit more spread out. Actually, I think Jacksonville is one of the largest cities in the country in terms of square mileage. So that was definitely a big draw. You know, the historical aspect of you know, over the Rhine and the West End is also, you know, very exciting. I'm a huge history buff, so that was alluring as well. And to reiterate Maggie's point, we have a growing food scene and it gets better all the time. So that's also very, very valuable.
Well, I will thank Ollie Kroner, the Sustainability Coordinator at the City of Cincinnati Office of Environment and Sustainability, Maggie Lawson, and David Sherman for the time you gave us. We appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your experiences with us, and we'll look forward to talking again sometime. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.